All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, August 29th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
the King in the North. That's my new nickname because I'm in New Hampshire, so I'm kind of like the King in the North.
I'm more like from Dorne. Dornish.
Nah. Yeah, King's Landing, dude. That's where you're.
Yeah, that's kind of good call. The hot Game of Thrones talk right here. All right, so we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. You called completely, totally off guard. If I had known you were going to do that, I would have been much more on the fly with who I could have compared myself to.
Yeah, but, I want to make you look stupid. So.
Well, I'm not known for my improv. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. We have our full football projections up there now. So if you sign up at DFSR.com/NFL, you'll get a free 3-day trial to our projection system. It's going to cover you for the rest of Major League Baseball season. Cover you for football as well. NBA, we have it all under one subscription package, so you're all good to go. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And I believe we have a season-long discount right now too, right? Like 30% off, or is that it? 30% off?
Yeah, it's a full $60 off, 33% off for a season-long access to all of our tools that'll be going on during that time. So during the first month of the season, you'll get baseball, and during the last three, you'll get basketball. So come sign up.
Yeah. So, getting excited for football. We're going to record a football podcast today as well. That is on a different iTunes feed. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. That's the DFSR NFL podcast. A lot of stuff going on right now in the world of sports. That's really mostly just when football starts. And even basketball has made itself relevant all through the year, too. Like, just they've kept that offseason so that they're firmly in the discussion. So the big three sports always vying. Baseball today. A couple notes about today's games. The first one is, the Houston and Texas game is being moved to Tampa. Now, I'm not sure if it's actually in the Trop or if in like St. Petersburg, but it's in Florida, one way or the other. Mm-hmm. This is because of the hurricane flooding in Houston, which has been awful looking. Now, I have a quick question about this. The Houston had asked Texas. This is not the DFS relevant, but I think it's just more interesting. Houston had asked Texas to swap a series with them, and like, say, you know, we'll play you in Texas now, and then the one we were supposed to play in Texas in like the end of, you know, during September, you will play that one in Houston. Are you cool? And Houston says no. Now, Texas says no. And they just get a ton of crap for it, right? Like social media, this is a bad look, blah, blah, blah. Texas had a reason for it. They were like, that was going to put us on the road for like 12 straight games. And do you think like we should just like forget like this moral high ground stuff like when it comes to like this? Do you think there's like a reason to be like that reason to be mad at Texas? Like, do you think it's like their obligation to like take this once in a lifetime event and kind of like make concessions for it? Like, I don't know if you have a quick opinion on that.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, so Texas is not relevant this season. Like, they're not. I take it back. I guess they're theoretically in play for the wild card, so they're three games out of the wild card. I do think that if you have any chance to make the playoffs, you have to take things like that into consideration. So I guess for those purposes, if they look and they're like, hey, there's not a snowball, there's something less than a snowball's chance in hell that we get into the playoffs here, then maybe you do have to do it. It'd be really tough for them to reach the playoffs. They got four teams ahead of them, another team tied with them, and two that are already in the wild card, so they have to leapfrog five total teams to get there. Yeah, but on the same token, like, I think that they need to do what's best for their organization. Like, they don't owe the Astros anything, I don't think. I mean, it would be a nice thing to do, but it's kind of like if your neighbor comes over and is like, hey, I had some trouble in my backyard. Like, will you come help me lift this really heavy thing? And you're, like, on the way out to go pick up your kid from someplace. You can just say, like, sorry, I'm busy right now, right? Like, I don't know. It would have been really nice if they did it, but it's just tough to hate on someone for not going above and beyond and putting.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I felt too. I was just like, it's just not. It doesn't maybe look great, but it's just right. You're not just contractually obligated to just, I don't know, just figure out a way to like help everybody. The game's still being played. I just think Rangers going to probably end up coming out looking worse than I think they actually should. I mean, it probably wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world to just do it, and you're right, they're probably just not going to make the playoffs, but they really don't deserve to take any crap for just saying, nah, it just doesn't work for us.
Baseball should either just tell people to do stuff like this. Like, there shouldn't be a thing where you can just ask other teams to like put themselves out and like that, like make it work. Like it's like when you and I switch days where we're writing the picks or something, like where I can call you and be like, well, I know I'm putting Doug out a little bit, but we have this relationship. Like, it shouldn't be like that in baseball, especially, you know, like it's anytime some big tragedy happens, you can make like a PR play against your rivals by asking them for something above and beyond and letting them refuse. I don't know. And obviously that's pretty unlikely, but it just sets a weird precedent to let teams kind of change the schedule around without the guidance of Major League Baseball. You know,
the libertarian wants the bigger guy to come in and make the decision for him. I get it, buddy. You want you just want
some... All right, everyone, take a seat for a second.
We're gonna get into some real baseball.
No. It's not a big government thing. Major League Baseball owns these organizations. These are called franchises, Doug. In the same way, a Subway is a franchise. And so, if Subway's national office says, "Guess what? We're doing chicken patties with cheesecake on the top." Every Subway in the country is going to roll out chicken patties with cheesecake, and that's what Major League Baseball is too. And it's not big government. It's the fact that they give people the opportunity to have a baseball team. So we can talk more about that later.
My point stands. Right, let's talk about actual goings on in DFS baseball today. Today is a funny day because there's one good pitcher going and a bunch of weird decisions after him. Chris Sale pitches today. He's coming off, I think, his worst game of the season. If it wasn't his worst game of the season, it was probably tied for his worst game of the season against the Indians last time around, where he got pretty much shelled. Only went three innings. Does that affect you at all in this decision here? Is he like clearly the chalk play? He's kind of expenses on DraftKings. Like, where do you fall with Sale here?
Yeah, the price is laughable on FanDuel. We were talking about this when we first saw it, just like trying to figure out if the FanDuel folks are trying to see if they can get 100% start by the end of the season. And they think pitchers their best bet. So they're like, going to lower the price a little bit and kind of mess around and, antagonize the users who get bored of playing the same pitchers every 5 days. Because really, think about it. When was the last time Sale wasn't the chalk start when he was going on a given night?
It
was a time.
But. He was tied with Carlos Martinez last time out. Like, they were both 50% start, so I guess that's chalk.
That's pretty damn shocking.
Right. And then, I don't remember.
90% the time before that. I don't know. It's just a weird situation. So, yeah, you'll play Sale. The Blue Jays are effectively league average against left-handed pitching. Nothing to see there. Toronto's not a great hitter or not a great pitcher's park by any means, but Sale's just that good. I don't think it really affects him that much. So, yep, you'll see Sale in all of our FanDuel lineups for sure, and possibly even DraftKings as well. But he's pretty darn expensive over there. What do you think of that 13-2 price tag?
He's expensive. It's not expensive enough. He's just so clearly ahead of the rest of the group just in terms of, just his floor. And I like just and if it was if there was any other like if we were in like last week where it was Carlos Martinez was around or there was some other guy that we could theoretically slot into the starting pitcher slot too and feel okay about it, like that Martinez against San Diego, you could feel pretty good about a situation like that where his price point was. If that was the case with any of these guys like slightly lower on the food chain, I would be a little bit more bearish here on Sale, but there just isn't. Like these other guys, other starting pitcher one types. Like if you want to fade Sale on DraftKings, like Arrieta doesn't have a great matchup. Rich Hill is in a bad park, not a great matchup. And then forget the rest of the list, right? Like the rest of the list is guys.
That's really the issue, right? Is a lack of competition. That's the thing that came to mind immediately for me, because when I saw Sale showing up in our optimal lineups, I was like, man, that's a little expensive. I wonder if we're overrating Fears or, even Luke Weaver was peeking his head up there for a moment or two. And then I looked at the guys under Sale and they're just either too expensive or they have a bad matchup or both. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of Sale tonight.
Yeah, no, so I think I'm totally fine going there on DraftKings. And like you said, 100% on FanDuel, at least for our cash game lineups. I think you're fine to try to pivot off him for tournaments. I actually think a situation like this, sometimes more people get cute and think that, oh, I'm going to pivot off him because he's just going to be chalk. And then really, his ceiling is so much higher than anybody else on this slate. Like, it's like not even really that close. And so I do think that people end up taking it the other way where they're just like, get cute. I'm gonna not even stack against him, but I'm gonna pivot off him, fade him here. Where there are times where the clear cut guy is so much higher than this, like even the second place guy in terms of like overall raw points or whatever. This strikes me as one of those situations. I just don't think fading him makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm with that. So I guess the question then becomes who to pair with him for DraftKings on pitcher two, because like we said, there's not a lot of great options there. I threw out the name Mike Fears, and I'll be curious to know if you think there's anyone else in kind of the candidates list for you. But as far as Fears is concerned, up against Texas today, and Texas has been a little bit up and down. They haven't been kind of the beating team that they've been in the past, but still in the top 10 in the league in terms of WOBA against righties. But what I like about him today is pitching actually in Tampa Bay. If they are going to be at the Trop, which I believe to be the case, that's a much better pitcher's park than either Houston or Texas would be. And I think they're waiting you know, just to see how it all shakes out before delivering a money line. But if that comes in his favor, and he should be favored against Martin Perez, who's just stone cold terrible. Fears is still a slightly underrated pitcher. You know, is up near a K per nine, or a K per nine would be really bad. One K per inning this season, and historically he has been able to sustain that over the course of a whole season. You know, the walks are obviously pretty high, but you know, you're going to kiss a lot of frogs in that pitcher two slot, and I think you could do worse than Fierce in it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a little bit money line dependent. Right now, we just have it set at a pick 'em at like 8.5 runs, and so that's just like just a baseline. You just need to have some something in there to to inform a projection.
Make sure
that
number comes out.
I'm usually pretty good at predicting what these are like. And this one, I just don't really have any idea because I'm actually not sure how much the park's going to matter here. Like, I just don't know how Vegas is going to see that game, so I don't have a guess. My guess would be something like -139 or something like that, like -130 with a 9 over under would be my guess on Fears, and that's just kind of throwing it out there totally out of left field. But yeah, if it ends up again somewhere in that range, I think I'd be fine with it. If for some reason it was lower, then I would start probably getting worried, or like they thought the implied run line was going to be a little higher, I get a little bit worried about it. But mostly just like, where do you even pivot to after these guys? Like Luke Weaver was a guy I actually kind of liked. And then his money line came in this morning. He's an underdog with like a 9.5 over under against Milwaukee, which struck me as high. Like, they see Milwaukee putting up somewhere like close to, this is when I say they, Vegas sees Miami, Milwaukee putting up somewhere like close to like 5 runs. Do you think that's like not wrong, but Weaver's been pretty good when he started this season. Milwaukee is a team that can K a lot. Like, to see them having 4.8 implied runs against a guy with a K per nine, who's pitched really well in two of his three starts. Does that strike you as a line that you could see coming down?
I do, and I think that Weaver will be pretty highly owned on DraftKings. I think people are going to be choosing between him and Fears. A lot of people are going to lean Weaver just on the back of his most recent performance, right? I mean, he was absolutely incredible against San Diego. He was heavily owned on DraftKings. I think that's going to sit pretty highly in people's mind. And while Milwaukee is certainly not as good a matchup, like their WOBA is 20 points higher than the Padres, and so is their isolated power, they strike out even more than the Padres this season. There's a number one overall team in terms of striking out against right-handed pitchers. So I think there's a ton of upside in Weaver today. I love him for big tournaments and wouldn't be disappointed to see him cash games at all.
Yeah, and like I said, I do think there's some chance you see that line kind of shift around, because like going against him is Garza, and Garza is just a worse pitcher. Yeah. Like, just no other way you can cut it. So if the line shifted a little bit, I think you'd probably see more Weaver here. I think our system's going to be having a little trouble getting on him. If this does stick, like sort of in this implied run range, like if Vegas thinks that the implied runs against are going to be up close to 5, you're really hard pressed unless the price is like in that 5,000, 5,500 range on DraftKings. You're really hard pressed, even with a K per inning, to kind of jam that salary in there. But like I said, hoping to see some line movement there. A couple other guys I think people might consider here. You know, Matt Moore is playing against the Padres. We've seen a kind of interesting thing happen here where the Padres are one of the few teams that they are not underdogs against this season are the Giants, because the Giants are also just horrifically bad. Matt Moore is not a favorite here, but it's still the Padres. They, I don't know. Do you see that? Do you see him as like being in contention here just because the matchup, the park? He's a guy that can go innings at times. He's not a great pitcher. Do you have any interest in Moore?
I mean, not really. I think there's a case to be made for him. I think things are kind of trending in the right direction for him. The last 4 starts, he's gone 6-7, 7 1/3 in 6 innings, better than a K per nine in 3 of those 4 starts. So I think that things are definitely looking better for Moore than they had been in the past. Last time he faced the Padres, he went 6 innings with 7 Ks. He did allow 4 earned runs, but some of that was just, you know, the sequencing of events. Like, there was only 7 hits and no walks, so kind of unlucky, I think, to allow 4 runs over that stretch with those peripherals. I do think Moore's an interesting big tournament play. It's very hard to imagine playing him in a cash game, really, on either site. But yeah, as far as a guy, like, basically, if Sale isn't the top overall upside guy for whatever reason tonight, Moore is definitely in the next tier of guys who, I guess, could be that.
He's a little more expensive than Fears and Weaver, who we talked about before. That does hurt him as well. So he's on DraftKings, he's 500 more than Weaver, and he's 800 more than Fears. And those dollars actually do start to matter, especially on a night like tonight where you're going to want to get in some pretty high-quality bats. It's mostly just that
that's why you can't play him for cash, right? But for big tournaments, like, if he goes, like, there's a chance he goes 7 innings, 8 Ks, and that's just the best start of the night. And I think that's, like, given the other guys we have going tonight, there's actually just a ton of just a whole lineup of awful pitchers that we'll get to in the stacks portion. But that's my only point, is that of the five or six guys who are even good pitchers going tonight, he does have upside among them.
Right, and then we mentioned some of those other arms before, like Arrieta. I think you're paying too much there. Rich Hill, it's just there's a lot of downside there for a team that can, at least the top of their lineup, can hit righties pretty well. It's a really pretty bad park for him, and he has times where he just has blow up, not blow up potential, but he just has like high pitch count potential just because he will work counts. Zach Godley, another good arm this season, but up against the Dodgers team, and you really don't want to put anyone against the Dodgers at this point this season. They're just one of the best hitting teams in baseball, even though Godley's been pretty good. It's just not really a place I'm going to go. And Trevor Bauer kind of fits into that category too. So I'm just mostly just listing these guys to say these are the other guys that become names that for whatever the context that they have in their matchup or the park or kind of a combination of both or the price, I just don't think you really want to – I just don't – these aren't the paths I don't think you want to walk down. And I think I just said that Rich Hill was a righty. I meant to say the righties against Arizona don't look great when Rich Hill, a lefty, is taking the mound. So just to make sure that no one emails me or sends a mean comment that says, oh, Rich Hill, you don't know Rich Hill's a lefty? I know he's a lefty. All right.
You sound exactly like the people, the type of person that would criticize you for that, by the way. That was fun.
Oh, we've heard it. I mean, you can't make one little mistake in this industry without someone telling you that you did it. Like, it's just like people just absolutely just, I don't know,
it wait. It's like Christmas, like especially if there's like a mix-up like that in an article or whatever. It's just there's some gleeful internet troll out there just ready to dance on your grave.
Just waiting to come in. All right, hit us up with a sponsor. We'll talk about some stacks.
Yeah, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. Actually, exciting news with NoHalftime. We just re-signed a year-long partnership with them where we're going to go ahead and take over their podcast four times a year. So the first podcast we're going to do for them, it's going to be football-related. It's going to come out. Well, we're going to send them the file on Thursday, but I imagine it will come out next week in order to be in line for week one. So check them out, NoHalftime.com. They're rolling out their new podcast, and their app is cool, too. And if you don't know about NoHalftime's app by now, you haven't been listening to this podcast because NoHalftime does a great job of providing a totally unique fantasy sports experience. Basically, you go over there, you can pick any individual player, and you can forecast that guy's going to outperform any other individual player within the sport you're picking. So if you're getting ready for football season, Doug, you could get your boy Jacquizz Rodgers anchoring your keeper league team this year and take
He's
him
not anchoring my keeper league team.
Anchoring up against Mike Gillisley, another stalwart of your keeper league team for NFL, and you could decide who's going to outperform whom. You pick a dollar amount, you put it out there to the world, and someone can accept your challenge or not. Likewise, you can go out and accept the other challenges that people have issued on the NoHalftime.com app. So that's NoHalftime.com. Download the app. Use promo code DFSR to get a 25% bonus.
I took over a keeper league team out of the goodness of my heart for our other DFSR guy, Chris Durrell, because he just needed someone to fill it in for his friends league, and no one wanted to take this team over. And the reason no one...
You're an effing saint, all right? Like
the reason no one wanted to take over this team was because this team was picking last and didn't even have five relevant keepers.
Now, when you talk to Ernie, our accountant, can you write that off as a charitable deduction? Just because it's such a nice thing to do. You might be able to. I'd at least throw it off.
I got to be honest with you. I should be able to, because the thing, this hot mess that I took over is just doomed for last place.
It's by the way, you actually probably can write that off against your DFS winnings, just to, as a quick side note.
Oh, good. The one upside, so I get paid 0.001% less taxes. All right. Let's talk some baseball stacks today. Sorry, I said baseball because it's all thrown off by talking football. Let's talk some
stacks coming up.
One thing that I cannot believe is I'm just going to start off with this team. So the Red Sox face Brett Anderson today. Red Sox, I mean, look, Red Sox are a publicly team, so they're always going to trend a little higher in terms of implied runs from Vegas. I think that's just like the way it goes. Yankees are kind of the same way. I think Dodgers kind of fall into that category as well. That being said, the prices on some of these Red Sox guys today are a complete joke on FanDuel. Eduardo Nunez, $2,900, most likely hitting leadoff here. Like Hanley Ramirez, $2,800. Even Chris Young, who should hit around the middle of the lineup against the lefty. Like, I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, they haven't been putting up a ton of runs lately. Like, they're not they're not the best offensive team in baseball, but under $3,000 for three of these guys is just making almost no sense to me. Do you think that they are like the algorithm has just kind of overcorrected going the wrong way on a team like Boston? I mean, they get a guy like Brett Anderson stinks. So like, it's not like they're in some good matchup. Do you think Boston ends up becoming a pretty chalky stack on FanDuel?
I'd have to believe that he will. I mean, Anderson's really interesting because he was always a guy who put up good ERAs without big strikeout stuff. But the problem is this year, his ground ball rate is dramatically down. He used to be in the 60% rate for ground balls. And his walks are basically double his career average, up at 4.91. So, yeah, Anderson's been horrible. I don't expect that will change against the Red Sox. And the Red Sox just stack a lot of good right-handed bats. So I do think the prices are wrong. I do think it's correct to play them everywhere. Understand that people get fatigued by playing the same guys, especially when they're in slumps. But like I've said many, many times before, that's where our edge comes from. So, yep, I'll happily do so tonight.
Even Betts at 3,800 is a guy you can easily get into lineups because Sale's 10-9. I think you're going to see a lot of very similar. You're going to see a lot of overlap of things with lineups tonight. But there are a lot of other guys that are coming cheap. There are a lot of bad pitchers here. Like I said, this is mostly for FanDuel. I'm talking about that Boston stack. Their prices are a little bit more in the realm of decent or realistic over on DraftKings. Other stacks that we can look at today, other teams that are kind of jumping out to you.
Yeah, there's a number of them. I mean, if you just go up and down the available pitchers tonight, there are, you know, first of all, James Shields is pitching tonight, so he's going to jump to the front of everyone's consciousness right away as one of the very worst pitchers in the majors. And then there's just a sea of other guys after him. Just to catch you up on Shields' credentials, he's at the 5-4 xFIP this season. The walks are over 4. He's still not letting anyone hit ground balls, 37% ground ball rate. And the 2.25 home runs are really just startling. Like that number, whenever I see it, it just catches my eye. He's allowed a home run in all but 2 of his starts this season. So he started 15 games. He's allowed a home run in all but 2 of those and multiple home runs in 5 of those starts. So, yeah, Shields just completely horrendous. The Twins facing him today. And the list goes on. I mean, do we want to go deep on these, or should we just give a 7-team list of the guys?
We'll go deep on a couple more. I do want to point out before we do that, there is obviously a game in Coors. The Rockies were a heavy stack last night and just crazy owned. Cargo got scratched right before, sort of NBA style, gets scratched right before the game. Most people, myself included, were not able to see that news in time. Like, you basically had to be watching the pregame show. Like, if you just happen to be watching the pregame show, they mention it and he gets scratched. So, that was really the only situation where you could have it, because it really didn't hit any like feeds or alerts until well after the game had started. That being said, they were a pretty big stack tonight. I don't see people stacking that Coors game as much tonight for two reasons. One, the pitching is like just good enough with like Fulmer and Marquez. These guys are not necessarily good, don't get me wrong, but the way that the site's price correct for Coors, if there's anyone like sort of halfway decent on the mound, typically you just don't really need to go there just because the guys are so expensive. That wasn't the case, obviously, last night with Jordan Zimmermann on the mound for Detroit. And then, obviously, what happens? Rockies put up like 2 or 3 runs. And so I don't think you see them as a chalk stack tonight. This is all to say, overpaying for Coors does not seem to be in the cards tonight just because of all the other arms that we have going here. Now, I think we should throw out a couple more of these names because there's some really bad pitchers here. Who else did you have on the bottom of the barrel list?
Well, I want to point out before I jump into the bottom of the barrel that there are a lot of weather concerns tonight, too. So, you know, I just didn't want to not mention that. Basically, all the games in the Northeast have weather question marks right now. So just be sure to double check that, obviously, with the exception of the Boston-Toronto game, because that's inside of a dome. So even though it looks red in our tool right now, that game is not in question. But in terms of other terrible pitchers going tonight, let's see. I guess Martin Perez is a guy I mentioned earlier. He'll be pitching in Tampa against the Astros. Now, the Astros they're kind of problematic for stacking purposes if you want to play them along Sale, especially on, say, DraftKings, where Sale is so expensive. But the Astros are one of the very best teams in the league against left-handed pitching this season, second behind the Tigers in terms of WOBA against lefties. That doesn't come as a surprise to anybody. And Perez is just completely awful. I mean, he came up as an actual prospect that hasn't borne out whatsoever. The 5.6 Ks against 3 walks this season have him at a 4.7 xFIP, not too different from James Shields. And those Ks are actually up from his established baseline of his career of under 5.5. The guy's just stone cold terrible. The Astros can stack righties at the top of that lineup. You know, they are a team that'll move things around a little bit. But yeah, you get Springer, you get Bregman, you get Altuve, Gurriel, like any of those guys 1 through 4, I think would be a very attractive options for you to stack, especially if you're looking for a home run upside.
Yeah, this is the list goes on. Chris Flexen also pitching in Great American Ballpark against the Reds here. Flexen, we talked about him briefly off the air. He's got some crazy numbers, right? So he's through 28 innings, which is not, you know, 20. Well, here's the thing about sample sizes. 28 innings is not a great sample size for some things, but it's a pretty good sample size for other things. Like, your K rate does tend to normalize much quicker than some other stuff. Like, if you're like, he's striking out six batters per nine, he's walking almost 6.5 batters per nine. So the old more walks than strikeouts is not necessarily the number you're looking for from a starting pitcher. He gets to face a Reds team in probably the second best power ballpark in the majors in Cincinnati. The top of that lineup all looks pretty good. Votto's having a great season. Billy Hamilton's always in play, especially when you get a guy that doesn't really strike anybody out, because he just needs to get on base to do damage there. So these are the exact kind of matchups I like to start Hamilton in.
Poor Joey, poor Flexen too. Votto had that 5-walk game the other day. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Votto was, yeah, he went 0-for-0 with 5 walks. So he'll go up against Flexen, who walks literally the most guys in the majors. So that should be some breathtaking at bats.
It's always so sad to me when like guys like Votto, who are just sort of like peak superstar types, are just forced. Well, not forced. No one's putting a gun to his head, but it's the way that the landscape has worked, he's just going to be on a bad team for his whole career on the Reds. Like, this guy is,
they put a $200 million gun to his head. But,
well, yeah. Right. He's not poor, obviously. But his, like, it's sort of like the Trout category. Trout's more high profile, but and the Angels are a little bit better this year. I guess do have some chance to make the playoffs. But Votto, he has, these numbers are insane. This season he has a 19% walk rate to a 12% K rate. I don't think I've ever seen a gap that big between your walk and strikeout rate. That's unbelievable with 1,000
like
OPS.
Pujols, I'm pretty sure, like that, in that kind of category. Barry Bonds, you know, this is the kind of company you keep at that point.
Yeah, this is probably his best season, and it's just going to go relatively unnoticed. And I guess he was pretty good in 2015 too. But yeah, it's just going to go relatively unnoticed, I think, compared to some of the other guys that people are making big deals about this season. Rightfully so, like guys like Stanton and Judge and even Trout's season are great too. But Votto's...
Sure. He also plays first base, which is a little different than a guy like, say, Mike Trout. But
he's never going to get like...
Year one, top of the league superstar.
So anyway, Votto in play here. The entire top of the Reds lineup. Hit us up with one more of these bad pitchers, and then we'll just kind of give the list of other guys you can kind of stack against.
Well, there's someone named Chris Smith pitching again tonight. Chris Smith is going to be not even infamous for many people. He's just kind of a no-name prospect, a journeyman type guy. He's 36, well, not even a prospect. Yeah, he's 36 years old. 5 Ks this season, 3 walks, 38% ground ball rate, means lots of home runs, 2.27 home runs per nine. All this to say, he's also terrible, also one of the very worst pitchers in the majors, and there's not really much else to say. He happens to be facing the Angels tonight. The Angels, you know, not the ideal stack against a righty necessarily, but do have some guys at the top of the lineup that you could consider here. You'll obviously think about Trout. Maybe not Pujols, but you can go Calhoun. You can maybe even go Luis Valbuena if he bats up towards like the middle of the lineup a little bit. But yeah, just more of an upside play that you can get, I think, with great separation compared to some of the other guys. And Chris Smith just as likely to get absolutely blown out of the water as anyone tonight. So yeah, Angels for my big tournament, offbeat, you know, just kind of sneaky upside stack.
Yeah, and I think you easily just stack the top of that lineup. Like Maben too cheap on FanDuel, still only 2,600. If you just went like Maben, Trout, and even just threw in Pujols maybe, like just because I think when Vegas is kind of looking at where the Angels are going to score their runs, it's all centered around like wherever Trout is usually. And so you want to just be in like sort of the Trout bubble in terms of stack and how you're going to score runs, because where they're primarily going to come from. And then just like we said, some of the other pitchers that really aren't anything to anyone wants to write home about. Mark Leiter Jr. pitching today. Scribner is going here. Erasmo Ramirez still pretty much stinks. Chad Kuhl has been okay at times, but mostly is not good. Vance Worley. The list goes on and on and on today. So just take a look at our projections if you want to get an idea. This is a great day to use the stacking feature. One guy I do want to throw out, Sal Romano is not a very good pitcher. The Mets lineup is starting to now trend toward a complete AAA team. And so this is always a little bit weird thing to try to figure out late in the season, and it happens more and more, especially when rosters expand and teams are in full tank mode or they're just trying to look at their young guys. But this team that the Mets are throwing out right now that Cespedes is out for the season and they traded away everybody else, the guys that are in their lineup, I think only Asdrubal Cabrera, Travis d'Arnaud, these are the only two guys that were like on the team and not in the minors to start the season. So Nimmo, Lagares, and he might have been on the major league squad, Flores, Dominic Smith, Ahmed Rosario, Travis Teheran, I have to admit, I've just never even heard that name before. So Sal Romano is not a very good...
Julio's kid, bro.
Yeah, oh, nice, they spell it differently. Sal Romano is not a very good pitcher, but we are to the point of the season where you're going to want to start taking hard looks at the opposing lineups. The Mets lineup does fit that category today. This is their AAA's team with Asdrubal Cabrera and a couple other guys. All right, we're going to get out of here. DFSR.com/NFL. Free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. We also have a 30% off deal for the full season, and that's just... Just in time for NFL right around the corner. We are going to go record that NFL podcast today. We have a No Halftime podcast coming out. So lots of stuff coming down the DFSR content pipeline. I have a couple NFL articles up there as well, taking a look at early optimal lineup. So if you were thinking about using the system and you want to see where our projections are starting to land this early in the season, go check that out. That's up on the main page. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more baseball. Buddy, talk to you in a second about football.
Peace.